days when people will come before him to be judged. And they'll begin to talk about all the different things that they've done for Jesus. And keep in mind, keep this picture in your mind. They're standing there face to face with Jesus, and they're looking at him. And they'll say, "Lord, Lord," and they'll talk about all the things they've done. They'll talk about, "We've prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name, done many mighty works in your name." And in that day, there's going to be many Nigerians who will come before him, and they'll talk about the things that they've done. And they'll talk about how much money they've given, or they'll talk about how many times they went to church, or whatever it is, how many pillars of Islam they followed, whatever it is. They'll talk about all those things, but then you know the next verse, Jesus will look at them and say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." He'll say, "I never knew you." When these people, they were working for him, well, they thought they were working for him, and they called him Lord. They're looking at him, and they call him Lord, like they know him, like they're expecting to get into heaven. But then he'll tell them, "I never knew you at all." They never knew him, and he never knew them. And for many people around this world, and for people in Nigeria, they don't know him because no one's ever really told them about who he actually is. People in Nigeria, a lot of them know the name of Jesus. And they know a lot of they know stories about him, and they know some things that they've been told. I mean, many Nigerians go to church. It's one of the most religious countries in all the world. I mean, there's on Sunday morning, basically everything's closed because they're in church somewhere. But they go to these churches, and they hear about how much they have to give and how much all the things they have to do to try to earn God's favor. And they preach this message at the cost of men's eternal souls, so that by the millions, people in Nigeria are on their way to hell, and they have no idea who Jesus really is. Praise the Lord that somebody told you and me about who he really is. Someone told me that it's really you can't give enough, and we don't have to try to give enough because he paid the full price. We don't have to try to give our way into heaven. We don't have to try to work our way into heaven because he fulfilled all righteousness for everybody. Perhaps everybody around this world, if they'll just believe in him, he'll forgive them of all their sins. And that's the God they need to hear about in Nigeria. They need to hear about the God who's rich in grace and mercy. He's not trying to get something out of us, but who's given everything for us because he just loved us so much. That's the God they need to know about. That's the God we want to tell them about, because that's the God that somebody told me about, the God of the Bible, the one true God. And the verse in the video was 1 Timothy 2:5. And that's one of my favorite verses, and God used it in my heart. That passage, he used it in my heart in a big way when he called me into the ministry as a preacher and as a missionary. And I want to read that passage to you. I think it's just incredible. 1 Timothy 2:3-5 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And listen to this. "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So there really is one God. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one true God, and there's only one mediator. There's only one person who can go between us and God, and it's Jesus Christ, and it's him alone. But he is a very good God, a very good God. And he sent Jesus into this world to die for sinners. All around this world, he sent him to die for sinful people like me and like you and like people in Nigeria. And he wants people to know about what he's done. He wants people to know the knowledge of the truth. He wants people to know the gospel truth. He came to this world, he died, he rose again, and he ascended, but he told us what he wanted us to do. He wanted everybody to know, and he wants us to tell them so that they can know. And he died for all. This is very important to him, and this verse, God used it in a big way in my heart. And I got saved when I was 15 years old, and my wife has a similar testimony to me. She got saved as a teenager, but coming from the family that I did, it's a lot less likely that I would be a preacher than I would be in jail. And that's not really even an exaggeration. I'm the only preacher in my family. And if I just go back just a few decades, just a couple generations, my family didn't know God. They didn't know God. And my grandma and her siblings, none of them were saved. But then one day, someone invited my great uncle, my grandma's brother, to come to a revival meeting. And he went to a revival in the same town that I grew up in, at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Carlisle, Ohio. And he went, and he, praise the Lord, he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and he got saved. and it changed his life. And it was pretty evident he changed his life, because that week, he took the preacher with him, and he went around to every single one of his siblings' house, and there was a lot of siblings. He went around to every one of their house, and every one of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the gospel came into my family, and things began to change. My grandparents got the gospel, and then my parents got right with God, and so I had the opportunity to grow up in a family where I got to go to church every Sunday, twice on Sunday, and every Wednesday. So I heard the gospel. I don't remember when I didn't know John 3:16. I don't remember when I've just always grown up just hearing about God and how he loves me, but I put it off for a long time. I rejected him for a long time, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I didn't get saved until I was 15 years old. But when I understood who I was and how bad off I was, and that I couldn't be good enough, and I couldn't get my life right on my own, and I came to him, he accepted me, and he changed my life, just like he changed my family's. And that's why we're so excited to go to Nigeria. You know, people talk to me, oh, you're so young. You and your wife are so young. You have all this life ahead of you. Are you sure you want to go to Africa and spend your life there? And I really can't think of anything better that we could do, because I've seen what God can do in my life, and I want people that don't have a chance to know about the same God and the same things that I've been taught. And Olivia has a similar testimony. She got saved when she was 13. And she had a godly family, but God came. She understood her need when she was 13 years old and got saved. And then God called her to be a missionary just shortly after that. And so this was a passing that she had on her heart even before we came to know each other. And so we've been excited, and you know, we're going as church planting missionaries, because that's what can really change Nigeria, and it was what changed my life. I told you I grew up in a great church, a great local church there in Ohio. And it really changed my life. And I think that's what God can use to change Nigeria. Because, you know, if you go through Romans chapter number 10, you know, you'll hear that message, that passage from missionaries all the time. It says, you know, you got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, but how can you call on the Lord unless you believe in him? You can't call him as your Savior unless you believe in him. How shall they believe on him of whom they've never heard? So how could you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior if you never heard about Jesus? I mean, that makes great sense. You can't call on him as your Savior if you've never heard about Jesus. And, you know, I've had the chance, God's blessed me with opportunities to go to different countries around the world. And one time I had the opportunity to go to China. And I have a friend of mine who's a missionary in China. And he was in Western China. He was there, and he had the opportunity to witness to this young college student. And he was sharing the gospel with him, telling him about Jesus. And this student stopped him for a second. And he said, What's a Jesus? He said, what's a Jesus? And he didn't understand enough to ask, who is Jesus? Or what Jesus do? He asked, what's a Jesus? And there are people around this world, and you know, most people in Nigeria would know enough to ask, who is Jesus? Or what, they would understand a little bit about him, but they really don't know who he is. They really don't know who it is. And I think we need to consider what it would be like to grow up in a world, to grow up in a and never knowing about how much God loves you. And that's the case of many people all around this world, really not just in Nigeria, not just in these mission fields, but really there's people around us that really don't know who he is. And we have an opportunity to tell him. So the passage says, how shall they believe on him of whom they never heard? And then it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? That just means you got to have somebody to tell you. That's what a preacher is, just someone who proclaims the gospel. And we're going to Nigeria to proclaim the gospel, but Nigeria is a huge country. 220 million people is a lot of people. It's two-thirds of the U.S., and it's just the country is just a little bit bigger than the state of Texas. If you tacked Oklahoma on Texas, that's about how big Nigeria is. And I know I can't be the preacher for all 220 million people. That's a lot of people. But if we can go there, and a church can be started, and Nigerians can be trained to lead that church and to pastor that church. And then, you know, as people are getting saved and more churches can be started, a great work of God could be done all across Nigeria. And I really believe that. God's plan for countries, for places around this world that don't have the gospel, for people that have never heard, is for local churches to be started. That's his plan. And so that's why Olivia and I are going over there, is because we just want people to know about the same thing that we've come to know. You know, I grew up in Ohio, like I told you. I moved down to Georgia, where Olivia grew up, and we met. I was in Bible college there at the Our Generation Training Center, and we dated for a little while, and we got married in August of 2020, and it's been great, and we've been excited. Right after we got married, we got started on deputation. But we really just want people to know about who our God is, about what he can do. And that's why we're church planting missionaries. And I don't say that to just, you know, belittle other types of missions, other things that people go around this world to do. But that really is the most important thing that you can give somebody is a local church. And, you know, I don't say local church. That's not just a buzzword to me. It shouldn't just be a buzzword to us. But really, people need a place where they can come together and the word is preached and the gospel goes forth and goes out to people that don't know about it. I have a friend of mine. He's a missionary in South Africa. And he says, if they have a church, they have a chance. If they have a church, they have a chance. And that's why God has put us here. That's why he's put churches in this world, is because he wants the gospel message to go forward. He wants it to go forward in Nigeria, and that they need churches. They have churches that will tell them about all these different things, but they need a church who will tell them what the gospel means and who God really is. And that's why we're church planting missionaries, because I really believe that God wants to do something there. And, you know, our ministry philosophy, our priority ministry is to train national leaders, is to train leaders and train pastors. So I want you to imagine, kind of get the picture of what we're doing. So we're going over there to Nigeria, and the goal is to start a church. And we'll start a church after a little bit of time there, learning under another missionary. I'll tell you a little about that later. But our goal is to go there and to start a church. And at first, you know, I'll function as the pastor of that church, because there's no one else to pastor it. But as the church begins to mature and as people come in and people get saved, God, he always does it. He's going to call people into the ministry. He's going to call people to do the work of the ministry. That's what he does. And I know I'm not going to be in Nigeria forever. I'll either die or I'll be forced to retire, whatever it is. But the gospel has to continue going forward, right? And praise the Lord, we don't still have British pastors of all our churches here in America. We need national leaders there in Nigeria. So our priority ministry is to train Nigerians to do the ministry, because that's how the gospel can multiply. That's how churches can be started. So we're going there, and as people get saved, as the gospel goes forth, and people are discipled to follow Jesus, and these churches are started, my goal is to just train Nigerians to do the work of the ministry. And that'll involve, you know, leading all the different ministries of a church that you can think about and that they would be able to do there in Nigeria. But they need leaders. They need churches. If they have a church, they have a chance. So if you'll go to 2 Timothy 2:2, that's kind of, I'll just, you know, we want all of our ministries to be biblical, right? And this is based on a biblical model. 2 Timothy 2:2, that's what our priority ministry is based on. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So, you know, Paul's writing his letter to Timothy, and Paul's getting ready to pass away. He's getting ready to go on to heaven. And he tells Timothy, he says, "The same things that I've taught to you, the same commit thou to faithful witnesses who shall be able to teach others also." So it's kind of a multiple-step process that's going on here. First, we got Paul, right? And Paul, he was a missionary, and he trained Timothy to do the ministry. So we got Paul, and then we got Timothy. And Timothy was the pastor of different churches. Paul would send him around to these places. So Paul had trained Timothy, but then he tells Timothy, "Timothy, your job is to train leaders. I trained you to train leaders." So he says, commit the same things that you've learned. Commit those to faithful men. Commit those things to faithful men. But then, so we got Paul, we got Timothy, and then we got faithful men. But then it continues to go on, doesn't it? Faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. That's really what Jesus came to this world. His ministry was based around those 12 disciples, because he knew that he was going to leave. But the gospel message had to keep going forward. And this world was changed by Jesus training leaders and training men to do the work of the ministry through the Holy Spirit working through them. And Nigerians really don't need, they don't need to be American. They really don't need me because I'm American. They need the gospel message to be brought to them by Nigerians. That's why we're going to train national leaders. That's our priority ministry. And our goals are really, like I said, to train national leaders, but to be multiple church planting. Nigeria is a big country, and it's full of people. And we're not going there just to start one church, because if we're just, they don't need just one pastor. They need churches to be started, and that really would be unethical to take support from American churches and just go there and to pastor one church. Our goal is to start multiple churches. So if you can imagine this, we're on deputation right now, and our Lord willing, we're going to be leaving this coming July. And we're excited to get over there. But we're going over there, and we're going to work in the capital city of Abuja for 2 years, Lord willing, because there's a veteran missionary there named Mark Holmes. And God's blessed, and they've been there for 17 years now, and God's really used them in a big way. He started a church and a Bible college, and from the graduates of that church, 46 churches have been started across Nigeria. And so we're excited to be able to go there and work with him. I realize that we're young, and we need experience, and we need help as we're getting, you know, not just in the ministry, but living in a different country can be is a challenge. So we'll be able to go there and to both learn from them how to learn in Nigeria, how to do ministry in Nigeria, how to start churches, how to do all these different things, and then be able to help them too and assist them for the time that we're with them, because God's really using them, and we're excited to be a part of that. So as we go finish up deputation, then we'll go over there for 2 years to be hopefully learning the pidgin. I'll tell you a little bit about the language situation, and also be helping them in the ministry. And then after that, after a short furlough back here in the States, is to launch and begin a new ministry, a new church, a new work in a different part of Nigeria. So we'll be working with the homes, and we really have enjoyed our time on deputation. You know, God's been so good to us, and you know, I could tell you all kinds of stories about how God's good to us, how he's provided for us. This has just been an incredible journey, and you know, sometimes people try to ask us about deputation must be hard, and they try to, you know, get us to talk about the negatives, and it is hard. It's hard work, and we travel a lot, but like I told you, I grew up in a small town, and I never imagined that I'd be able to go around the world, that I'd be able to go. I always wanted to come out to the West Coast, to come to not Washington. I always heard about how beautiful it was. Not only do I get to come to the state of Washington to preach, I get to come here, and I get to do it for God. He's just poured out blessings on us. And so we have nothing to complain about. This journey has been wonderful. And we're so excited to get over there to Nigeria. And like Pastor Caleb had just told you, we went on our survey trip. And we got back on Thursday. And it was awesome. You know, the purpose of the survey trip was really just determine, you know, the different things that we needed to live there, if we could find the different things. And really, we found places where we'll be able to live. And we had a huge prayer request we had answered there. Some of you know, my wife Olivia is a type 1 diabetic. She was diagnosed as a 16-month-old, and she's been living with this for a long time. And, you know, we were going there to Nigeria, and, you know, I'm married to my wife. She's really my priority ministry. And so if I'm going to go to the mission field, I need to go to a place where my wife can get insulin. And so we were praying, Lord, would you send us to a place, would you open the door so that we'll be able to have all the supplies for her medical needs that we can get there. And as we were in Nigeria, we found insulin. Not only did we find insulin, we could get it over the counter. And it's the exact same type of insulin that she uses here, and it's about 10 times cheaper. I mean, I could tell you just story after story about how God has opened doors, and he's made it abundantly clear that he wants us to be in Nigeria. She has some other medical supplies that she uses, and this was a huge prayer request. You can't buy them in Nigeria, and we were looking for some different ways that we could either take them to Nigeria with us or have them shipped over there, but it goes month by month, and so that would be difficult. And we were wondering about this, we were praying about it, and honestly worrying about it. We shouldn't, but we were. And as we were praying about it and we were thinking about it, God just blessed, and he answered our prayer request. Someone contacted Olivia, and they said, we'll be able to get you your diabetes supplies, your pump, and your glucose monitor at 6 months supply at a time. And so we'll be able to have all those supplies that we'll need in Nigeria. And, you know, as he's provided us the Holmes family, we needed somebody to be able to train us and to help us learn, to be able to stick on the field in Nigeria, because it'd be so intimidating, so difficult to go to a country and not knowing anybody. He provided that open door for us, and he provided this open door with the medical supplies and just places where we'll be able to live and places we'll be able to be taken care of. God has just made it abundantly clear he has a place for us in Nigeria, a ministry for us that in the future in Nigeria. It's really exciting. We're more excited than ever to get over there. Nigeria is a wonderful country. The people are friendly. The people are excited. They're passionate in these churches. They want to see God do a work. We want to see God do a work. We really know that a great thing, a great work of God can happen there in Nigeria. So I ask that you pray for us for a couple things. As we're finishing up deputation, like I told you, Lord willing, in July, that churches would partner with us to support us so that we can go fully supported with it. Not just the personal needs, but the ministry needs will be fully supplied. We're getting ready to buy some plane tickets. So this is a really exciting time in our ministry, so we'll have a concrete date here soon, hopefully in the next couple days. And would you pray for God to call more missionaries to start churches in Nigeria? So, like I said, 220 million people. And from what we know, there are six families, that includes us, and three families that just arrived in Nigeria in the past year, six families from America that are starting churches in a country of 220 million people. That's only going to grow. Nigeria is growing. Nigeria is growing incredibly fast, and soon it's going to be bigger than our country, than the U.S. And I know that God wants people to know this gospel message. So I ask that you would beg him to just work in people's hearts, that he would call young people from the churches here in the United States to go to Nigeria and to take the gospel message there. Because it's such a needy country, but it's such an open door. It's such an exciting place. You can go there, and the government doesn't have any problem with you missionaries. You can go and start a church. You can get a visa. You can put up a big sign. You can hand out tracts. You can do whatever you want, and the government doesn't have any problem with it. It's this huge open door, but it just seems like we're letting it go to waste. The field really is white to harvest in Nigeria. I mean, it's an active harvest field. Incredible, exciting things are happening, and we just need the laborers. So I ask that you would pray for us that we can get there quickly with our full support, and that God would send more missionaries. Those are just a few of the different requests that I would have for you. And at this time, I'll go ahead and open it up to a time of questions. If you got any questions about us or about Nigeria or whatever it is, I'll try to give you an answer. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Bigger than Cairo, bigger than... Yeah, so Lagos, the metro area, kind of not necessarily the city limits, but last time I checked, it was around, they say 22 to 25 million people. And has been kind of going back and forth between Cairo and Lagos. And depending on some of the places you look, it might be Cairo, but Lagos is still growing. In fact, I read one place, I have no idea how they're going to manage this, but since Nigeria's population is growing and it's urbanizing, they say that Lagos, by maybe the end of this century, will be 80 million people. That'll be the biggest city in the world by far. So there's an incredible need there. But yeah, it's a huge place. I mean, it's hard to even imagine that many people. But they're there. Yes, sir?
What's the language?
The language. So the official language of Nigeria is English, because it was a British colony for a long time. So most people, especially in the cities, everybody speaks English. You know, we were there in Abuja, and we didn't meet anybody that we couldn't talk to in English. But of course, it's Africa, and so there are a bunch of different tribal languages, tribal dialects. I've heard 200, and I've heard 500. So somewhere in between, either way, there's a lot. And so they also speak a language called Pidgin, and Pidgin comes from English. It's kind of like English slang mixed in with the tribal languages and everything. And most Nigerians would speak that. That's kind of the, I don't know, colloquial language. And so as we're going there for those first 2 years, we'll be spending time as we're, you know, in that time of learning Pidgin. It's hard to determine which tribal language to learn because, you know, it's a different tribal language based on where you're at in the country. So we'll be probably learning Pidgin. So I hope that kind of answers your question. Yes, ma'am. What percentage of the country is Muslim? 50% of Nigeria is Muslim. So they say Nigeria is 50% Muslim and 50% Christian. And of course, that's everything that the world would call Christian. You know, throw it all in, Catholics, Anglicans, all the cults, they're all in there. But they say about half of Nigeria is Muslim. And most of those Muslims live kind of in the north of Nigeria, up where it's a little drier and hotter. But 50%, about half and half. Yes, sir. How did you get started as a missionary? Are you talking about like from the time God calls you, or at the time you arrive on the field? Can you clarify that a little bit? Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. So, what's the track of? So, say you're a young person here in church, and then you feel like God is calling you to be a missionary. I'd say the first thing to do is to get as involved as you can as in your local church as possible. You know, God's put you here. You have pastors, and you have all kinds of people that can teach you. You can get ministry experience. That's really the first step, is to just get involved as you possibly can. Just ask, what do you want me to do? What can I do to help? And that's really the best first step. And then from there would be, you know, to get training. You know, God called me to be a missionary when I was 15. And, you know, I couldn't move off to Bible college at 15 years old, so I was there in my church. After I graduated college, I graduated high school. I moved to Bible College in Georgia to get missions training. And the college I went to is called the Our Generation Training Center. And, you know, I, you know, I, I think it's the best place that someone could train for missions, because the teachers and the pastors there, they just give you access into their lives to be able to learn from them personally, to ask them questions on top of the, you know, the academics and the coursework, to be able to get involved in the ministry and to learn from their mistakes, and as you make mistakes, to be able to have them help you. So from there, it'd be to get training, to be Bible college, and then, you know, it just goes on from there. We're on deputation right now. That's usually the step after that. And as you go to the field, it just goes on from there. I hope that kind of answers your question. And anybody that would want to talk about, you know, what could be the next steps for me in missions, I'd love to talk to you and to get you plugged in with some people that can help you. Yes, sir. So, yeah, Mark Holmes started a Bible college there. There's a Bible college there in Abuja. He asked if some of the students there come from one church or churches around Nigeria. To answer the question, in short, they come from different churches all around Nigeria, all independent Baptist churches, but they come from around Nigeria. A lot of them come from the church there. It's called Truth Baptist Church. Most of them, I think, come from there, but they do get students from all around Nigeria. Yes, ma'am. What's the currency and how far along? So she asked, what's the currency and how far along are we in our support? So the currency is called Naira, Nigerian Naira. We have a little bit back on our table there. And, you know, you'll look at it and it looks big. I think we have a 200 Naira bill and then 50. And everything on our table right there is about 50 cents worth of money. The current exchange rate, last I looked, was 570 Naira to $1. And so that's a favorable exchange rate for us right now, and it really helps out with, you know, as we're changing money, as to be able to buy things, it makes things cheaper. Currently, you know, this is good news for us. Currently, a gallon of gas is a little bit over a dollar in Nigeria. So that's pretty nice. Maybe God's calling you to Nigeria. But so that's the currency. That's kind of the exchange rate. And we're at 83% of our support right now. So we got started on deputation about a year and a half ago, and we're at 83%. Lord willing, be leaving in July. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, she asked, you know, is it harder? Is there more difficulties that comes with reaching someone who already kind of comes from a Christian background than someone who comes from an unreached background? Am I phrasing that right? Okay, so that is true. You know, as you get someone coming into church and as you're trying to, you know, disciple somebody and lead somebody to the Lord, it's a lot of the times they do come in with, you know, baggage from all these other teachings they've been given. And, you know, you just got to preach the Bible. Just like anybody, you just got to preach the Bible, give them the truth, and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. And so there is some of that, but also Nigerians are very friendly and they're very welcoming and open. And so they're willing to talk with you, especially, you know, as we're going as Americans and, you know, I really don't look like a Nigerian. So they're like, hey, why are you here? And they're excited to talk to us and to just, you know, just learn about us. And so that's a wide open door. And so there is some difficulty that goes into that, but Nigerians are willing to talk and you can share the gospel with them. Yes, ma'am. Are Bibles readily available in their language? So yeah, you can go, they have all kinds of English Bibles there. You know, they have Christian bookstores and everything. As far as the tribal languages, of course, I can't tell you about every one of them, but there's three main tribal languages called Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa. And as far as I know, each one of those does have a translation into those languages. And I'm sure a lot of the other smaller ones do as well. Probably not all of them, but a lot of them do. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, right here. What's the safety culture like? That's a good question. So Nigeria, you know, I've been to 10 different countries around the world, and honestly, Nigeria is one of the ones I felt the most safe in. This missionary that's lived there, the Holmes family, they've been there for 17 years, and they've never had their house broken into. He's never been, you know, robbed on the street or anything like that. And so Nigerians, this is kind of funny, Nigerians have a big respect for missionaries and for pastors. They've always viewed missionaries, you know, they came here to help us. Missionaries started hospitals there, they started universities. And so there is a kind of an, they look up to missionaries, and they're happy to have you in their country. And so, you know, as people learn that you're a missionary, they don't want to mess with you, and you're happy you're there. So that's kind of, that adds to the security. You will, if you look up Nigeria in the news, you'll read about terrorism and things that goes on there. And that usually just happens in one part of the country, up in the northeast, way up in the desert. There's Boko Haram. Maybe you've heard of that. That is, they do have branches in Nigeria. But where we'll be, that's really not a concern at all. Yes, ma'am, in the back. She asked, what type of government do they have? And they do, they have a democracy, they have a republic, and so they have a president. Right now, the president currently is called Muhammadu Buhari. He's a Muslim. The president before him, funnily enough, his name was Goodluck Jonathan. Goodluck is actually, it's not an uncommon name in Nigeria. You name your child what you want them to have. And so there's people named Goodluck and Blessing and Prosperity, all kinds of names like that. But so they do have a republic, and so they elect leaders, they elect a president, they have a legislature. That's the basics of what it is. Yes, sir.
How far away from the big cities do these other languages start? I mean,
He asked, how far away from the big cities do these other languages start? So, you know, most Nigerians speak multiple languages. So even inside the city, they speak tribal languages. Usually they speak English, they speak one of those three main languages, and then they speak the language of their tribe. So most Nigerians speak at least three. I heard about some that speak 4, 5, 6, and even 7. That's pretty impressive. I was telling them, man, you guys are smart. Most Americans can speak one language, and sometimes we struggle with that. But if you get outside of the cities into the more rural settings, and we didn't spend a lot of time out there, so I can't tell you for certainty in all different places, but you will get to places where you would, if you were going to work there, if you want to live there, you would want to learn a tribal language, certainly. So you don't have to go too far. Yes, ma'am. A favorite missionary. A favorite missionary. That's a good question. I think it might have to be for me Hudson Taylor. I read his biography just shortly after I got saved, after God called me to be a missionary. So it had a big impact on my life. There's a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, and you know he just believed God's and God used his life in such a mighty way. He was just his story how God used him was a big encouragement in my life. So it's hard to decide. There's a lot of good ones. You know, anybody that wants to serve God, you're my hero. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so is there another nationality in Nigeria besides Nigerian? Here we have Mexicans come up from the south. Mm-hmm. Canadian. I don't know a lot, of course, in America, but is there a primary?
Okay, so he asked if there's other nationalities in Nigeria. And so they do have some immigration in Nigeria. So, you know, I was in the city of Lagos. The first time I went to Nigeria, went to Lagos. And that was in 2020, and we went to this community called Makoko. Makoko is in this huge city of 20 million people, but it's built out of their wood huts that are built on top of a lagoon. They stick out on stilts out of the water, and it's like a fishing village in the middle of this megacity. And most people that live there in Makoko are from Benin. They're Beninese. I can't remember the term you use for them. But they have immigrants from Benin. They have immigrants from Cameroon. There's a civil war going on next door in Cameroon right now. It hasn't spilled over into Nigeria, but they do have refugees and immigrants come from Cameroon. So a lot of the countries that surround Nigeria do come in to Nigeria. And they'll speak different languages. They'll come from countries that speak French and other tribal languages. So I hope that kind of answers your questions.
Do they have a Chinatown?
I didn't see a Chinatown in Lagos. I hope they do. I love Chinese food. Yes, ma'am.
Can you share with us how you experienced God's call on you to go into mission work?
She asked, how did I experience God's call to go into mission work? So it was the winter after I was saved at my church's missions conference. And, you know, I was considering what I could do with my life. You know, after I'd been saved, you know, I had plans of what I wanted to do. And then after I got saved, none of those things really appealed to me anymore. I was like, I could do that, but really I'd get bored with that and this. And so I was like, Lord, what on earth do you want me to do with my life? And then I was thinking, I never really considered that I could be a missionary. And I never thought it never really occurred to me. But then the missions conference rolled around, and they started telling me all these stories. And I said, that sounds really exciting. That sounds like something that I might like to do. And so I began to think about it. And then that week, a missionary to Japan named Will Hill, he's still a good friend of mine, serves on the same mission board that we do. He just sat down with me. And he said, have you ever thought about how God could use you as a missionary? And I said, you know what, I have been thinking about that here recently. And so God used that, it just stirred the fire, and I was thinking about it, and he was working in my heart, and there was all these messages, there were all these stories. And by the end of that week, on Sunday night, the finale of our missions conference, God just made it clear that that was what he wanted me to do with my life. It was abundantly clear to me, and you know, there was no, you know, I didn't get knocked out or anything, and I didn't, you know, see a bright light from heaven. But it just was clear. I want you to go to the mission field. And I didn't know where. I had no idea where. You know, he was a missionary to Japan, so I thought, you know, I'd like to go to Japan. I still think Japan's an incredible needy field. I thought maybe China. I thought all these different places. But then just through different a course of events, he made it clear we're supposed to be in Nigeria. Anyone else? Well, we really enjoyed being with you guys. You're such an encouraging church. You've really encouraged our hearts, been so friendly to us, and you know, we're excited that there are churches like this in America, that the gospel is going forth, and people are praying for us, so we're excited to be here. It's great to meet you guys. Let's close in a word of prayer, and you guys will be dismissed. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for being such a good and gracious God. Lord, there's a world that's full of people that you love, and that you have us here for a reason, is to reach them. So I ask that you would help us to get a heart for what you have a heart for, that we would be praying, that we would be sharing, that we would be going to a world that's lost and dying in their sin. Lord, you're so good, and so good to us. So I ask that you'd help us to care about what you care about. Thank you for this day that you've given us. I love you, and I saw all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed.